Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, March the 11th, 70th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Humboldt County Supervisor Virginia Bass. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Here we go again, huh?
I'm not sure how I got off the rotation, but
I don't know. Ryan loves it. That's all we can say. It's just Ryan appreciates us and others.
I appreciate you.
Good. Glad to hear it. We'll find out how much when we come back.
Best Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Supervisor Bass, but before we do our quote this afternoon, let's see if we find one. Ah, here we go. Oliver Wendell Holmes.
Okay, I've heard
quote, of it. Quote, man's mind, once stretched by a new idea, never regains its original dimensions.
I would think that's true. That's a good thing. Usually.
Yeah, I don't need confirmation. I'm just going to...
I can tell your
darn
mind...
Darn
your mind has been stretched.
Yeah.
Lots. I can see.
It's kind of like a rubber band, you know. At some point, it doesn't go back anymore.
Well, as long as it doesn't snap, I guess that's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, that's all part of it, too. Yeah, or spend too much time out in the sun and fatigue, right? Oh,
yeah,
boy.
I think you'll be okay there.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I would think one of the challenges of being in your position as an elected who is... You may not know everything, but you're kind of in the current of what's going on, is when half-truths, half-information, biased, gets thrown out. And typically, I think the easiest part for me to be able to figure out is that it's coming from a vested perspective. There's an end game going on. It's not just people being crazy or stupid. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think in many ways it is. I think some of the misinformation comes from people, honestly, who have heard something and it really has them, you know, concerned for one reason or another. But when you get down to where all the misinformation or incomplete information is coming from, when you get down to that point, I think you're right. Somebody has an end game, and unfortunately, they're wasting a lot of people's time by spreading wrong information because it takes a lot of time to clarify.
Well, and it's one of the things, I guess, is part of aging. One of the things that was tough for me to figure out is that it's not always about money. The currency is influence or power, oftentimes, as well as folding money. And to understand that there could be a couple of different options for somebody, all of a sudden lights go on and you're, oh, okay, now I get it.
Well, and to some it's just, you know, having their voice being heard and trying to put this the right way, causing havoc in the community, quite frankly, is, I think, some
stirring the pudding Bortz used to say.
That's a good way to put it. and it's almost as if that tends to be whether they enjoy watching, you know, people run around trying to, you know, straighten out information and kind of stir the pudding, as you say, or, you know, what their motivation is. It is different. It's not about money. I don't even know if it's about power. It's about having the ability to throw a wrench in somebody else's process.
The influence.
Yeah.
Hand grenade lobbers, you know, is another phrase that's often used just to see what happens.
Yeah, you know, and I think some people go into it really believing they're making a difference and that there's something wrong. But I think there is a component of people who actually like to see all the activity surrounding the misinformation.
Does it tend to be the same individuals, the same groups, or is it more topic specific?
I'd be guessing. I think definitely there's topic specific influence, but a lot of the same groups have there's topics that are closely related, so it's a little of both.
So as you guys are dealing with the budget issues, this is one most of us can follow. You got money. You got the opportunity to stir it up a little bit or lob grenades. Do you tend to see a lot more of this discussion and associated with the budget hearing process when there's money on the table, when there's allocations potential, when there's priorities being set? Or does it just kind of happen throughout the year and you just always have to be on guard?
Yeah, I think it happens throughout the year. Every once in a while, it makes sense that during the budget process, people came. We had the budget meeting a couple weeks ago. A lot of people were there, and people were there to get their thoughts on the table. There's a little of that, but I've never seen it be overwhelming. I think the Measure Z, as it moves forward with the monies there, that could bring out a little bit more of this.
Yeah.
But it all depends. There's issues. There are things that motivate people. And if I could guess when it was going to happen, that'd be great. But usually what happens is some information spread that may not be totally accurate, and next thing you know, we're getting all these calls and we have no idea where the information's come from. And we can talk about that after. I'm sure we're going to a break shortly.
Yeah, I was just getting ready for a new momentum here.
I can see you're getting ready to start ticking off the...
Fine, here we go. KINS, News and Information, Times 319. We'll be back with more from Virginia Bass.
Hey, Faith, you want to hang out?
Not now. I'm filling out my FAFSA.
Your what?
It's the application for student aid, and it's my ticket to getting funding for the tech training I'm going for. Having a FAFSA on file is the gateway to getting a ton of other aid. Remember Steve? He didn't qualify for federal aid, but because he had a FAFSA on file, he got thousands of dollars from the university he went to.
Have you got more copies?
Go to decadeofdifference.org for the workshop schedule, but hurry up. The deadline's March 2nd.
It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Virginia, considering some of the different stuff that is out and swirling around right now, you mentioned Measure Z. I can only hope that some of the initial projections now that are saying there's even going to be more money don't cause even more challenges for you guys.
Okay. More interest, that's for sure.
Yeah.
More ideas.
Well, and the sheriff was on last Thursday, and we were talking about Z, because Mike had just come from the meeting. And I said, public safety or law enforcement? And he just got a big smile on his face, because certainly there are those that are saying public safety, and then they're defining it, sidewalks. Versus law enforcement, which I think my sense at least is that's the primary voting motivator. It was the badges. It was the boots on the ground. It was the cars in the neighborhoods. It was fire trucks being able to run. That's what people voted on, not this innocuous thing called public safety.
I think there are many definitions, and you can stretch it as far as roads, because if the roads aren't good, then emergency vehicles can't get to you. There's ambulance service. There's a variety of things that term it. But I think I don't know if it's accurate. I'm sure many people did vote for it because the first thing they see is law enforcement and the fire trucks. What they don't see is the probation folks keeping people in line. And there's a lot of
But nobody's going to argue that probation isn't part of it.
Well, you'd be amazed.
Once you sit, you talk and you go, okay, but in order to make sure the bad guys, after they're turned out, remain under everybody's watch, we need, I guess I've kind of forgotten about that.
And I think whatever proposals come forward from the group to us, there's going to have to be some explanation of how it connects and where that definition of public safety is. And I would suspect that most things that are going to finally come forward in one way or the other would either be directly law enforcement or, fire related, or in some ways relieve the burden of needing to provide some of those services. So it's, like I said, we're waiting to hear. We're, you know, it's, I'm sure, going to be a really exciting process, and we get to do this for like 5 years. So this is the initial run, and I'm sure there'll be some bumps in the road, but.
Yeah, probably so.
I don't know of anything where they're not bumps in the road. So.
No. What was the phrase that I heard last week?
I don't know. Can you repeat it on air?
Yeah. No, it was actually kind of cool. It was talking about people's fortune or their life as they go through. And most times you're dealing with a face wind rather than a wind blowing from behind.
Yeah.
Expect it.
Is it called headwinds?
Yeah. A headwind rather than, yeah. So it was just
they slow you
cool.
down a bit. It's kind of like.
But if you're anticipating them, it's not personal. You deal with it. So thanks. With some of the stuff that is going on that's out there, what's really kind of sitting in your craw right now?
Probably what I've heard most discussion about is the transition of the multiple assistance center.
You were on the city council when that thing came to pass, weren't you?
You know, I was on the city council. Yeah, it was actually a 10-year process to site the facility, which originally was not just intended for families. There was funding issues.
Yeah, wasn't it women and kids?
It was actually, back then, initially? It was actually singles, couples, yeah. And a small portion of families.
And then it kind of started changing as needs changed.
Well, and the finances. The money that had been there was not available anymore, especially for single individuals. And there was a lot of focus on families through the HUD monies and different funding sources, so it transitioned to families at the time. And so now we're looking at transitioning and making it a different type of facilities, but then also transitioning the families into a situation that is actually shown to be more effective at getting people, you know, integrated and back, you know, housed and
well,
and
wasn't
on
it originally a transition?
Well,
it was like 30 days or 60 days or something like that.
That's
the initial.
You know, I don't want to say for certain, but what I could say what it has become was, you know, where people could stay there up to 2 years, which at the time was seen as the best way to help families, you know, transition to housing and learn the skills they need to learn to be successful. And it's really interesting. City of Eureka is going through their general plan. They'll probably be done before ours, but I had to say before you did.
Thank you.
And but I was fortunate to sit in with some of their meetings with a group called Focused Strategies, which is a consultant they hired out of Sacramento. And what we learned was quite interesting is the traditional transitional housing that has been used for all these years, when looked at from a national perspective, is not the most effective way to help people on to, you know, better their lives.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30. We'll continue when we return.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Supervisor Bass. Virginia, in the last segment, we were talking about the new information that is, I guess, coming to light because homelessness and transitional housing and all this stuff seems to, it's a specialization unto itself where it didn't exist, you know, 40 or 50 years ago. As more knowledge comes available, are some of these programs that are in place flexible enough to accommodate with it, or do they have associated bureaucracies that are vested in not changing and digging their heels in and keep doing it the way we've been doing it because they're not focused on the outcome, they're focused on the process?
Yeah, I would actually see less than that. I think what we're seeing here is people are afraid of change. And like in the case with the Multiple Assistance Center, when we talk about misinformation or incomplete information earlier, there's all sorts of rumors about what is or isn't happening, and certainly this is, you know, this is a process that's moving forward, but there's fear that the families are being thrown out and given no resources, no place to live. And, you know, it's frustrating because I get these phone calls, some people who just really feel, you know, oh my gosh, you can't be doing that. And it's like, we're not doing that. I mentioned earlier that there's better ways to do things, and rapid rehousing is, you know, a phrase you hear frequently, but the concept is leave people homeless, you know, have people be homeless for the shortest period of time possible, but then help them integrate into something that is going to resemble, you know, how you operate your life. Transitional housing is great, but when you're in there for 2 years, it's found that it doesn't really get people integrated as quickly as possible and successfully.
You settle into that.
Yeah, the outcomes aren't as good, though the outcomes have been good for some families. But the concept here is that these families are being relocated to scattered site housing, good housing. It's not going to be, they're not going to be put up in, you know, hotels. It's, they're being, you know,
we've learned recently how good that has been.
Yeah. No, but they're actually going to be in apartments. You know, we work with landlords. Currently, I believe there's 10 of the families left that are still being, you know, we're looking for the right place for them to go. And with them go what we call the wraparound services. And that's what people have felt, that you're just putting people in a place to live with nothing, none of the resources they need to make changes in their life.
So the life counseling stuff continues.
Yes.
But it's just not on site or in their bedroom.
Yes, it's
so
going
to
look different, but it's not going to, how do I say, look the same, but it's still going to be there, and it's going to follow the families. The same resources are following the families. You know, I'll say there's going to be a different level of responsibility, because people are going to have, you know, their own place, but there's also a level
of
pride.
Part of,
well, that's what
part of this whole process.
So there's it's you know, the fear that people are, you know, just being thrown out of the streets is not accurate. Is there change? Yes, but we believe in working closely with the city of Eureka that this is a much better option for the families. At the same time, the multiple assistance center is still going to be serving people, but that population is going to change, and that's got some folks really concerned also, because they're afraid it's going to become a drop-in homeless center, or, you know, there's all sorts of rumors there. And, you know, basically, this is not the technical phrase. I would say it's going to be more like a triage, and working closely with Andy Mills, Chief Mills, again, in the city of Eureka.
So short-term housing, not permanent housing.
Well, short-term, it's a place for people to be brought, you know, they're going to come in. Most likely, you know, there's the team, the law enforcement mental health team that work together. They're going to be able to identify people, bring them in, and then you can assess what help those folks need. Some just need help getting that first and last month. Some are going to need mental health treatment. But it's an opportunity to get those folks out of the woods, help find out, you know, what they need. And, you know, some people, the criminals, are going to stay out there. Chief Mills will then be able to actually go and start doing enforcement, because you're going to start...
It's reducing,
you know,
the total population.
Yes.
To those that are... And, segments, yeah.
But, you know, some people
so
are
why
concerned.
Isn't this seen as being a positive development by those who are out there questioning what's going on? Are they just not taking the time to do the research, or is there something else going on that I don't grasp?
You know, I think some people really are heartfelt in, and who have been involved in the children's and family process that believe what they're seeing. And quite frankly, it is still in, you know, moving forward, and not every detail's in place. And that's really uncomfortable for people when we're not able to tell them exactly how it's going to work, which by the next 2 months should be, you know, have worked itself out pretty well.
These are for the folks that are going into the facility, or those that are leaving, because aren't some of them already been relocated?
Yeah, many have been relocated. And, you know, so it's just, like I said, change makes people uncomfortable, and there's a fear that someone's going to be dropped. But at the same time, then there's, like I picked up a flyer someone told me about after this one phone call I got, and I couldn't figure out where she got all this information. And after I talk to her and kind of sorted things out. She goes, well, there's these flyers all over town, and they've got this pull-off tab to call you and basically be indignant and without asking for information. And I thought, whoa, that's not helpful. So I don't know if these people who have these postings are trying to be helpful or they're being what you call, you know, stirring the pudding. But, you know, until we actually can tell everybody, you know, it's yeah, we're going to get
the housing that is in association with the relocation process. Are there minimum standards? You know, we saw that dive on Broadway. People were indicating that qualified for the government housing assistance that the county, the state through the county, or the feds say qualifies.
You know, I would think these families, it's called TANF, the temporary aid for needy families, that I suspect has much more, you know, specific guidelines. But, you know, we've been asking and we've been told repeatedly that these folks are not going to motels, that they're going to go to apartments and, you know, or
so
houses.
So you don't have those concerns then?
No, but, you know, I'll tell you, there's other homeless families that are going to, you know, we're going to have to be working with. And we're also looking at the concept of creating a mini MAC, and which means, you know, the shorter term transitional when they come in while
mini
you're getting.
Mini is a timeline.
Mini is a timeline and mini would be the size. So, yes. And, you know, we're asking, you know, there's a lot
of. We'll have a chance to do some battle on that then down the road.
There's some great landlords in the community. You know, I've been making appeals. I know several people myself who they have properties. And they've worked with the vets. They have worked, you know, if you're willing to help give people, you know, help with them, how do I say this? Help provide a place where they can be housed and, you know, get back on track.
And
what's nice, you know, with the families at the MAC specifically right now, they have resources that are going with them. They have case managers who are there for various different reasons, which really helps the landlord know that
less
they're going to be
for them.
Yes, and it's a great place to provide a hand up for people who could use that little bit of help.
KINS News and Information Times 344. We'll be back with more from Virginia Bass.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Virginia, are you hearing anything about the airport? I know, you know, we got the next generation of airplanes, and some people are getting excited about that. But I think most of us are looking for increased capacity, lower airfare, more reliability.
You know, well, let's see. What can I say? We're constantly in talks with
no platitudes. Come on.
But we are, but you know, you,
so are you getting,
don't know
are you
until
getting
they
traction?
Offer. Oh, I think we have incredible traction. We have, you know, I know it's kind of fun. I send emails to the folks that I met with in Denver occasionally just to remind them that we're here and the great things we're doing. And it's kind of funny when you said, you know, some people were excited about the jets. Well, we decided to throw a party, and I had a few people not yesterday. Gosh, it seems like only yesterday that came out to our event where we had, you know, we had champagne, cookies, a band.
Kind of like an old-time parade?
Yeah, and it didn't cost, you know, I purchased the champagne myself, and I want to thank Jimmy Pastore for helping me defray
both,
the cost.
Both bottles?
Yeah, you're funny. And, you know, there's a local band, and we wanted to make it a festive atmosphere, and when people said why, it's like, you know,
why not?
It's important. Well, we need to celebrate the good things that happen, because we really focus on sometimes what's going wrong.
Well,
instead
the press
of what's
releases
right.
are most times out of the SO or the police department or CHP. Yes. I mean, that's not the source of good stuff most times.
And but I tell you, when you do something the airlines appreciate it also. And they, you know, they follow the press. They see what's going on. So we wanted to make it a celebration, a community celebration. And it was actually a lot of fun. And people that were coming off the jet were saying, oh, my gosh, I didn't know it switched to jets. And I had leg room. I could hear my neighbor. And, you know, we're getting leg thumbs room? Up. Yeah, there's more.
Really?
Well, for you, I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
And most people can stand up in it, but I'm not sure if you can.
Okay.
But, you know, it's important to celebrate what we have that's good. And as far as dependability, reliability, one of the things I'll say with the regional jets is, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how it impacts San Francisco, but they've taken so many small planes offline that it should lessen the congestion factor at SFO, which in theory should make things move better. But as you know, with everything, the proof is in the pudding.
Theory's a wonderful theory, yeah.
So, you know, we're hoping to see that. It is a more comfortable plane for sure, generally faster because it goes higher and can actually take advantage of the jet stream. And
you're excited.
I am.
Cool. Well, we'll look forward to the next update then also. Thanks for coming by.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.